Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the security situation in Iraq has improved since the handover of power to Iraqis. On this program yesterday, Rumsfeld said the security situation will determine how long U.S. troops remain.
If it deteriorates as we get closer to the elections, because the Baathists and the Saddamists and the former regime elements decide they've got one last chance to try to stop a free representative system from evolving in that country, then we might have to react to that. To the extent that the situation continues to calm down, as it has in the last few weeks, then over a period of time, one could look at the alternative of reducing the size of the coalition forces.
We've decided to look into that issue by checking to see if conditions have calmed down, as Rumsfeld said, over the past few weeks. We'll start by calling NPR's Philip Reeves, who has been in Baghdad since the handover of power. And Philip, can you just summarize what's happened with the insurgency in the past 3 weeks?
Insurgents have pursued a strategy of attacking Iraq's security services, government officials, U.S. soldiers who continue to die, and the infrastructure. It all appears to be part of an overall effort to disrupt the new government. High amongst their aims is an effort to prevent the establishment and growth of the security services in particular. We've seen attacks on men lined up to sign up for the National Guard. There have been attacks on the Iraqi police forces. We had a very large suicide truck bomb outside a police station in Baghdad yesterday, attacks on the police in Tikrit, and the killing of 7 Iraqi National Guardsmen at a checkpoint south of Baghdad.
And what other strategies have the insurgents been pursuing?
Well, particularly they seem to have placed emphasis on their tactics of attacking government officials. Today we've just heard that a senior city official in Basra in the south has been assassinated. On Sunday, a senior defense ministry official was shot dead, and the day before that, the justice minister's convoy was bombed as he was traveling through Baghdad. He narrowly escaped, but 5 of his bodyguards were killed. They've also, though, pursued a policy of trying to increase the strain on the U.S.-led coalition in Iraq. They have scored what they would perceive to be some success in that department. Much to the annoyance of the U.S., the Philippines withdrew their small contingent of troops early, a month early, in order to save a Filipino lorry driver, Angelo de la Cruz, and we're getting reports today that he's been released. Attacks are actually going on all the time as well, small ones. I mean, a report from Saturday, prepared by a private security company, shows that there were 21 roadside bombs just on that day alone, and U.S. soldiers are continuing to die. As of Monday, 890 U.S. service members died in Iraq since March last year, and that figure is unfortunately still going upwards.
So there has been quite a series of attacks over the last 3 weeks. At the same time, Philip, when you're out on the streets of Baghdad, do things feel any different? Is there a sense among the populace that things are improving in any way?
The public in Baghdad and in Iraq generally has been crying out for the restoration of security. And one of the things that the government of Iyad Alawi has done is put more police on the streets. Now, that's brought a certain amount of change in the atmosphere. In certain areas, by no means all, you're beginning to see people at night on the streets, for example, crowds around ice cream shops and sitting outside in restaurants. In general, Alawi has tried to respond to the insurgents and their persistent attacks against his new interim government. He's used a mixture of words and deeds. Some have been tough, some have been conciliatory. He has, for example, denounced laws allowing martial law in trouble spots. He's been unveiling plans for a domestic intelligence service. And on the deeds front, he's sanctioned several airstrikes by the US against Fallujah. And he's made a move to mend bridges with the Shiite community by allowing Muqtada al-Sadr to reopen his newspaper. The newspaper of that young Islamic cleric was one of the factors that caused the Shiite uprising in the south in April.
We've been talking to NPR's Philip Reeves in Baghdad. Thanks, Philip.
You're welcome.